From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in Psalm 119. Not only is this the longest of the Psalms, it is also the longest chapter in the Bible. The subject of the Psalm is the Word of God, expressed in many different ways. As he expounds the teachings of this Psalm, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the theme of living clean in an unclean world. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. The last Adam. Jesus is the federal head of his elect. As in Adam, every heir of flesh and blood has a personal interest, because he is the covenant head and representative of the race as considered under the law of works. So under the law of grace, every redeemed soul is one with the Lord from heaven, since he is the second Adam, the sponsor and substitute of the elect in the new covenant of love. The Apostle Paul declares that Levi was in the loins of Abraham when Melchizedek met him. It is a certain truth that the believer was in the loins of Jesus Christ, the mediator, when in old eternity the covenant settlements of grace were decreed, ratified, and made sure forever. Thus, whatever Christ hath done, he hath wrought for the whole body of his church. We were crucified in him and buried with him. And to make it still more wonderful, we are risen with him and even ascended with him to the seats on high. It is thus that the church has fulfilled the law and is accepted in the Beloved. It is thus that she is regarded with complacency by the just Jehovah, for he views her in Jesus and does not look upon her as separate from her covenant head. As the anointed Redeemer of Israel, Christ Jesus has nothing distinct from his church, but all that he has, he holds for her. Adam's righteousness was ours so long as he maintained it, and his sin was ours the moment that he committed it. And in the same manner, all that the second Adam is or does is ours as well as his, seeing that he is our representative. Here is the foundation of the covenant of grace. This gracious system of representation and substitution, which moved Justin Martyr to cry out, O blessed change, O sweet permutation, this is the very groundwork of the gospel of our salvation, and is to be received with strong faith and rapturous joy.
Thank you.
Now that most of the rush of the holiday season has subsided, we hope you've had time to reflect on the true significance of Christmas, God's unspeakable gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To that end, Let the Bible Speak has been offering a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to continue to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 1-866-LTBS. That's 1-866-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. The response to this publication has been most enthusiastic, so we encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while our supply lasts. Because of the demand, we must limit the offer to 2 copies per request. Order yours today. Today, Dr. Cairns commences his 4th message in a series on the vitally important theme for Christians in this age, living clean in an unclean world. The text for all of these messages is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. In the first message on the subject, Dr. Cairns focused on verse 9, where the psalmist asks a vital question, then gives the answer. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The emphasis there showed us that to live clean, our lives must be directed by God's word. The second message took its text from verse 10, With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Its main theme was the importance of a vital prayer life. The third message focused on verse 11, where the psalmist declares, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Borrowing from one of the great Puritan writers, Thomas Brooks, Dr. Cairns entitled that message, "A Sure Remedy Against Satan's Devices." The text for this fourth message is verse 12. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
1 Peter chapter 2, and reading the first 10 verses of the chapter. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Mercy. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our eternal heavenly Father, in the precious, peerless, and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, once again we bow before thee. We bless and adore thee, for thou alone art God. And thou art our God. We rejoice today in all the goodness of the Lord to us. We worship and praise thee, O God, because thou hast called us out of darkness into thy marvelous light. Thou hast brought us from the power of Satan unto God. Thou hast redeemed us to God with the precious blood of thy Son. And our Father, we therefore give thee the praise of our hearts. We pray that thou wilt take the word of God this day and open it to our hearts, and take our hearts and open them to the word. God, grant that thou wilt direct our paths in ways of purity and of spiritual peace and power. Lord, we beg of thee that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, that thy word may come with clarity, simplicity, and yet with overwhelming effectiveness to every heart. We pray that thou wilt indeed revive the saints of God, revive us to walk closely after thee, to live lives of joyful obedience to God. Lord, speak to those who have fallen and are backslidden, and we pray that thou wilt grant restoring grace. How we thank thee that God the Lord is married to the backslider. And thou said, how can I give you up? O Lord, draw them back to thyself. We pray that thou wilt speak to the unconverted. Lord, we would long for converting grace, for saving power to be manifested as the Word of God goes forth. So to this end now, cleanse this human vessel, grant the sanctifying power of the Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the unction which He alone can supply, and grant that there will be, to the glory of Thy name, great fruit for the preaching of Thy Word. Once more, O God, we lift to Thee the most important petitions of all. The Savior taught us that we should overarch all our praying with these great requests, that Thou wouldst hallow Thine own name, advance Thine own kingdom, and do Thine own will amongst us, even as it's done in heaven. Do these things, O Lord, and we shall be well pleased. We'll give to Thee the praise and the glory. For what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We return this morning to Psalm 119. We're looking at the second section of this 119th Psalm. We have looked at verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11. Now we come to the 12th verse. The verse reads, "Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes." I've titled the studies in this section of Psalm 119, "Living Clean in an Unclean World." Living clean in an unclean world. The theme derives from the opening words of the section, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" This idea of cleanness must be uppermost in the lives of God's people. I don't want to stray too far afield as we start this morning's study, but let me remind you of something I said in advertising John Douglas's book on Psalm 119, that each of the sections here is headed by one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the initial words of the verses of each section is also a word that commences with the relevant letter. So in this second section, we are with the letter Beth, and each verse starts with that letter. The word that starts each verse starts with that letter. It is, therefore, an acrostic psalm, 8 verses to each letter. As I pointed out, unlike our English alphabet, which is simply a series of sounds, other than using the word or the letter A as an indefinite article, the letters of our alphabet have no meaning in themselves. There is no word B unless you add BE or BEE. That's a different word, but B itself, there's no such word. C, maybe S-E-E, but the letter C means nothing. In the Hebrew alphabet, however, each letter is a word. And each word has a meaning, as well, actually, as a numerical value. Each word has a meaning. The letter Beth has the meaning of house. You remember the word Bethel, when Jacob was on his way and he slept for the night at a rocky place and made the rocks his pillow, and there he dreamed and he saw this wonderful vision of a ladder set up on the earth whose top reached to heaven, and the angels of God descending and ascending upon that ladder. When he awaked, he called the name of the place Bethel, because it was to him the house of God. And so it is not reading into this passage, this section of Psalm 119, that the idea of God's house should be kept in mind. When we come to think of God's house, the first thing that we ought to remember from a human point of view is that God's house is a holy house. His temple is a holy temple. And when we come before the Lord, you look at Psalm 15, you look at Psalm 24, anybody who's going to come before the Lord must be concerned with having clean hands and a pure heart. So when you think of God's house, one of the things that must concern us immediately is this idea of living clean. Now, we are in an unclean world. The world knows nothing of genuine holiness, purity, or cleanness. The world is a filthy place. It always has been, and it always will be until the Savior comes. But in the midst of the uncleanness of the world, there must be among God's people the cleanness of the house. We may be surrounded by the garbage heaps of human depravity, but God's people are living in a real, genuine, spiritual fellowship, which means that whatever's going on around about them, they are not called to live on the garbage tip of this world and its wickedness, but they are called to live in cleanness, purity, holiness unto the Lord. Living clean in an unclean world. The theme of the passage and the theme of our studies. Now it would appear when you come to verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes," that, at least in the initial part of the verse, has not got really very much to say about our general theme. And yet I think that would be a great mistake, because the more you look at this entire verse, the more you will discover that it presents some vital views on the subject of living clean in an unclean world. Let me give you, in a nutshell, what the subject of this text is all about. This morning I want to speak to you about the sanctifying power of a worshiping and teachable spirit. The sanctifying power of a worshiping and teachable spirit. When we look at verse 12, we'll discover that there are here three essential and powerful elements in sanctification. Three essential elements in living a clean or holy life. Now let me start at the beginning. Blessed art thou, O Lord. The vision of the Lord's glory is essential to living a holy life. Blessed art thou. In other words, the psalmist was so impressed with the Lord's glory that he felt he must fall before Him. He must bend the knee. And in the etymology of the word that is translated blessed here, there is the inherent thought of bending the knee. As the psalmist thought of the glory of God, it so overwhelmed him that he felt that he must bend the knee, fall before the Lord, and confess His glorious greatness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.